Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about a touch of football can get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. This is a podcast about the Baltimore Ravens, and we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. This is a podcast about your Super Bowl champion, Baltimore Ravens. Thank you so much for listening to the show on iTunes or Stitcher. Enjoy your freedom of speech from the Brando Cash Network. Here we are ready to talk about the Baltimore Ravens, and I couldn't talk to anybody else. He's got more knowledge than anybody else I know about the Ravens. My buddy Josh, what's going on, man?
Hey, Brandon. Hey, what a week, too. I mean, we got our first victory. It was hard fought, wasn't it?
It was nothing comes easy for the Ravens. You know, it doesn't matter if it's lights going out or kicks not being made. The Ravens don't make it easy on themselves. But week two, here we go. It was actually a win. Can't really complain about a win. But you and I were at the game yesterday, and I want to say the Baltimore Raven fans. I don't know if it's just because they're so passionate, but it seems like they don't like to lose very often, as any team is. But it seems like Baltimore is kind of taking offensive to the way this team has been playing a little bit, because, man, that first half, those fans were brutal in the stands.
I mean, it comes with the territory. I mean, first off, I'm surprised we can supposed to talk, given that we have no voice. I mean, I didn't have a voice as of last night, and this morning I fought it off, so I'm happy to report that my voice is back. It won't be there next week for sure, but anyway, it's just, it comes with the territory. It's passion. You remember the guy in front of us that was sitting in front of the stand, and it was just like he was like, just throw the ball, run the ball. Like, it was just, I love seeing the passion that people have, and we get behind this team. And yeah, it was frustrating. I mean, you missed two field goals, which was uncharacteristic of Justin Tucker. You know, you got the arch enemy, Billy Cutniff, over there, wanted to go to Baltimore, who would have tied the game in 2012 AFC title games. We know about that. The offense wasn't playing this potential. We let a big pass play with the opposing tight end right down the middle of the field. Luckily, the defense stood up and held its own, led them 3 points instead of seven. I mean, all around, we kind of expect certain play, and then when it doesn't happen, I think we just get a little cranky. But, I mean, can you blame us? I mean, we're Super Bowl champs. I guess, you know, we can expect a little more.
Yeah, you know, the fans are definitely passionate in Baltimore. It is something that is great to see here in Baltimore, just to be so passionate about this team. This really was a crazy game, because it really was two different teams out there. The first half, we saw a team that kind of looked a little lost. It looked like they didn't really have a lot of leadership. They didn't have somebody, you know, telling them exactly what to do. But second half rolls in after halftime, and they kind of straighten things up. You know, we'll talk about the injuries that happened during the game a little bit later, but this is definitely a learning team. This is a growing team. That first half did definitely scare me a little bit, but the one guy's name we got to bring up real quick, Justin Tucker, man. He was a guy before this season started. He said that he was going to go for a perfect season. Well, he misses two field goals in the span of one game. Dude didn't miss. I think he only missed three field goals all of last season. So I guess because the guy was pretty good last year. I mean, he beat out Billy Cundiff for the role as the kicker here in the team. I guess he was just due for a bad game, but it seemed like his head was not in the game at all yesterday, because he was missing field goals that I, even Billy Cundiff, you know, Billy Cundiff did better than he did yesterday.
Absolutely, and I mean, obviously when it comes to that too, we were on the winning side, but he just was uncharacteristic JT. And I could see his frustrated with himself. Especially the first one. The first one was kind of on the gimme side of things, and the last one was a long one. But still, you know, we haven't seen that of late, and it was just kind of concerning. At home with no bad weather, a nice sunny day in September, and just flat out dismissed them. I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, you look at the game, it was tied at 6-6. It could have been tied at 6-6. And then the overall grand scheme of things, depending on the if a couple of plays happened in the Browns' favor, if one of their receivers who got wide open did drop the ball, who knows what could have happened. And I even know as you, I said, what would happen if we'd have lost by 3 or 6 points? There you go. I would hate to see us lose by 3 and then, oh, 6 points swing, we will win the game or lose by 6 or lose by 7. I mean, you just don't know. And every point in the NFL is crucial, especially when you miss it. If you throw a pick in the end zone, if you're in the red zone, or if you're missing field goals, it just can't happen. Whether it's tied a game, going to overtime, playoffs, regular season, preseason, it can't happen in any season, in my opinion. And it just unfortunately, it worked out in our favor, as it didn't really come back to hurt us, because obviously their 6 points was all they were going to relent. The defense stood up. Wow. The front seven of these defenses showed, with 5 sacks, held up to no offensive touchdowns. I mean, hey, this past defense gave up 7 touchdowns of Peyton Manning. Granted, we were playing Brandon Weeden, not Peyton Manning, but 7-0. Big improvement all around on defense. I mean, when Jordan Cameron caught that 50-yarder, plus yarder for first down in the beginning game, I was like, here we go. You know, our tight end can't catch. We can't cover the other tight ends, as Julius Thomas a little over a week ago. Burned us for 2 touchdowns down the middle. You just have to think, is it going to be the tight ends all year? Well, defense rising occasion stood up, Brandon. You have to be impressed with that.
Yeah, absolutely. The defense definitely is improved from week one. That was a very refreshing thing to see. I think Terrell Suggs, Elvis Dumervil, they had a great game this second time around. There's still some holes. There's still some stuff to be concerned about, at least in the secondary. But I think that the Ravens know that, and I think they're going to do their best to address that. Jimmy Smith, he had a pretty good game yesterday. Ladarius Webb, I think he's still kind of working off a little bit of that rust. He had a good game. It wasn't a great game for him, but the defense definitely looked better than week one. It, like you said, it may have been because they weren't up against somebody like Peyton Manning. But this is a division rival, so to perform that well against a division rival this time around, that really shows something, and I'm very happy with what the defense has done. This is not a perfect defense. This is a great defense, though, and I'm very proud for the Ravens and what they're doing and what they're improving in just 1 week. That was a big thing last week. I mean, even Terrell Suggs put it out there on Twitter and was like, look, it's one game, all right, we'll be okay, we'll make the changes, we'll fix it. And it looks, you could definitely tell that these guys have worked at what they needed to fix over this past week, and they really did come out to prove that they were the real deal and that their game for this season. So I was very impressed as well from the defense.
I have to echo with that, jump on that, and add one more thing on that. It's something we learned from the America's game this year. No, wasn't easy, it wasn't pretty, but it was us, and that was Harbaugh and Flacco kept saying all season. It's just with these ugly wins and, you know, how to win ugly. And we do it. Well, it's pretty ugly, but remember I was joking with you. You know, I was going to quote it, and here I quote it. You know, back from the first Fast Fierce movie, man, it's, you know, when Toretto was beating Brian, and he said, winning's winning, no matter if it's an inch or a mile. And that's the way you look at it. I mean, 6-14, well, it was a close one. Could have been a lot worse. Could have been a blowout. Could have been a lot closer than what it was, or we could have flat out lost the game. But hey, 1-1's better than 0-2. And I tell you what, that was one that we desperately needed. It feels good. I mean, remember last year, Brandon, even reflecting that last year, remember the Chiefs game, how ugly that was.
Oh, yeah.
And we won that 10-9, wasn't it?
Yep.
That was an ugly game. I mean, we had some ugly games prior. I mean, look back in 2000 when they could score a touchdown for 20 quarters and had to win on field goal. That was an ugly part. So the Ravens, back in their history, have had some ugly wins. They've had some ugly losses, pretty wins and pretty losses. It all adds up. But at the end of the day, I don't care what the stat sheet says. I mean, just you look at it in a good light, and that's how I'm going to look at it. Is it was a division win, the AFC win, an important win. Home win, 22-3 in the last 4 seasons. Or 3 or 4 seasons is great. Keep the home field advantage up. And all around, just breaking down the game was great. Some breakout stars, obviously, Marlon Brown broke out. I like to see him more involved in the offense now with Jacoby Jones' injury still there. Dennis Pitt is out for the year. And Ed Dixon still showing he can't catch a ball. I mean, my God, what is that? I mean, wide open down the middle, you got to catch the ball. I mean, the freaking ball hits you in your hands. I don't know if you need to get stick them, glue, whatever, but Dixon has to catch the ball down the middle. It wasn't Flacco's fault. Flacco's accurate. I had to pull Flacco for no errors, no interceptions. So we took care of the football. Ray Rice did put on the ground. And speaking of Rice, I know everybody's concerned. Well, I hit the injury report real quick. And he had a hip flexor. And we hope it's not serious. And if it ends up being more serious than this, hopefully it's not a hip injury located or season ending. But Brandon, you have to be optimistic. And with the back we have in Bernard Pierce, he's providing that good punch, and we need a breath of fresh air in the backfield. If Rice were to go down, I hate to say it, but I wouldn't be worried. I like this kid. I like Pierce.
Now, I like Pierce a lot, and that's a big thing. You remember, we were talking about this during the preseason. That's one of the reasons why Bobby Rainey became a Brown, is because we had these two running back guys that we were fine with. Ray Rice, he's a super talented guy. We even talked about it. We knocked on wood, and we were like, you know, if anything happens to him, we have this other guy. We have Pierce ready to go, ready to step up. And when Ray Rice went down and Ray Rice was out of the game, the stadium was pretty quiet, and they were very sad, but we have Pierce, you know, he is a great running back. He's great at what he does, and just from this past game, I mean, I've been impressed with the guy before, but just this past game, he stepped up and he really did make some plays. So I hope Ray Rice is back in all his glory, and I hope that Ray Rice is back this season. I hope this isn't something that's, you know, insanely as bad as something like Pitta, but this is going to be nice for Pierce to shine a little bit, because I think he's going to show a lot of people what he's capable of.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows you a good time for things to come. I'm very pleased overall with some things that went on in the game. Defensive, again, we're going to give, I'm actually going to give game balls on all front seven. I mean, five sacks, just relentless pressure on Brandon Weeden, and obviously and Jason Campbell late in the game. They just provided that we need to get that more pressure on the quarterback. It's going to be a good game plan going forward. But how they can stop the offensive firepower, because we play small pros. We play some Pro Bowlers and some Super Bowl champions this year, being the quarterback position. And obviously Peyton Manning's shown what he can do. Obviously we just need to get after him and relentless pressure up front. It's going to be the key, and to keep the guys fresh, to balance that and offset that's going to be ball control and offense. Take care of the football, sustain long drives, get that defense a breath of fresh air, because they can get on the field fresh and ready to go and not winded. Who knows to say what kind of damage they can do. And then maybe that's why our secondary isn't going to look so bad, because when the front seven is doing their job and creating pressure, you don't have time. The quarterback's not going to have time to sit back there and pick us apart. So it's really, I think, defensive pressure is going to be the key going forward from here on out.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to jump back real quick to the offense, I do want to bring this up. You know, you gave out your game ball already. I want to say the game ball I'm giving out, got to give it out to, I kept saying this throughout the whole game when we were there, man, undrafted. This guy is undrafted. Got to give it up for Marlon Brown. This guy is showing unbelievable strength and agility. He's showing great poise as an NFL player. I mean, this guy went completely unnoticed by all these other teams, and the Ravens end up with him, and he started the first two games here. He's already got a touchdown at home at M&T Bank Stadium. And the big thing right now, especially because this is a new offense for Joe Flacco, is I think the big thing for him is trust. He's really worried about when he's throwing it, if the ball's actually going to get caught. I mean, when you take away Jacoby Jones and Dennis Pitta, the guy kind of loses some of his favorite targets. But Torrey Smith and Marlon Brown, they seem to be Flacco's new favorites because he really trusts that they're going to be able to get the job done. And Marlon Brown, here we go, undrafted rookie. This guy's showing up. This guy's ready to play. That's who I'm going to give the game ball to. Marlon Brown, what a performance this week.
I like it, too. I mean, he had a touchdown reception in each game so far. I mean, 6'5", he's providing that target that Flacco hasn't had in his five-year career going to six, and that's what we need, especially with some injuries and casualties on the offensive side of the football. It gives him a chance to step up, and I like what we're seeing out of this kid. He could be well-groomed into a possible good weapon for us on the offensive side. Really, I can't wait to see the rest of the year unfold and see what's in store for this guy. Wow, Marlon Brown, he's going to be something special wearing 14 for Baltimore.
Absolutely. And let's talk about somebody else here who kind of made a little impression, at least on special teams. Tandon Doss back in the mix on the field.
He almost had one.
Yeah. I mean, he did run a few, one or two. But we kind of were joking in the stands. This guy's here just to do a bunch of fair catches. But he saw an opportunity, and that's kind of big. His reputation is when he sees an opportunity, he just kind of sits back and doesn't really take it. But he saw one or two opportunities this past week, and he was able to get a good amount of yards running the ball back. So Tandon Doss, he looks pretty good for what he's doing
so far. I mean, hey, if he keeps it up, it's going to be a good re-signing for us. I don't see anything wrong with it so far. I like that he just took care of the football. I liked his game, how he approached it, was safe in his fair catch schemes. I really didn't see nothing wrong with him. Without maybe a little bit more sideline to work with, he would have broke that one for a touchdown. That would have been amazing to see.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, welcome back, Tandon Doss. You're doing a good job, buddy. And we talked about how accurate this guy is. Also got to say, congrats on being really accurate. Joe Flacco has another baby. He had another baby an hour before the game, and he actually had off today, Monday, to go and see his wife and new baby. So, hey, congrats to Joe. Team Flacco's getting a little bit bigger.
That's right. He's pumping out babies like Super Bowl wins. So hopefully that number two baby would equal number two Super Bowl win for him in Baltimore. Hey, but hey, it's great. It's great for the Flacco family, him, Dean, and thank you.
That's right. Hey, if you're going to have Joe Flacco's baby, taking care of the baby, make sure you get one of those terrible towels, wipe that baby's butt with it, wipe the baby's butt with it and throw it away, and then wrap that kid up in a purple blanket. That's what he needs to do.
We need to ship off some diapers, especially from Pittsburgh, with all the terrible.
So do we cover everything for this game?
We got it. I think we pretty much done away with the Brownies. They were a little bit burnt a little bit, but hey, we ate some brownies on Sunday. We're 1-1. I think we did a good job.
Yeah, that's right. So this is a new feature for the show this week. I hope you guys really enjoy this. We're going to try to split up whenever there's a home game that Josh or I are at. We want to talk to people, man, and we want to get them on the show as well. So we're going to take a little break, and this next segment coming up is called Tailgating from Lot H, and you're going to get to have a little treat here and get to hear some of what people are drinking, what people are eating, and who's partying down in Lot H. So we will be right back to talk about the game coming up against Houston. All right, welcome back to The Call. Thank you guys for joining us. Of course, we're coming live from Lot H here on Game Day Sunday. Josh, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? This is what we do, man. This is what we do.
We're getting ready for the big game against the Browns, but this is my first time tailgating with your group. Tell me what we're cooking here today.
Well, we got the, we're doing the Flacco's favorite. We got the Flacco 5 meatball subs. Provolone cheese on it. Got to do it right with the Old Bay. And then we got some dogs on the grill, doing it good style.
That's good, man. Flacco's favorite, 5 meatballs in 1 sub. And plus, we're making it Maryland style with Old Bay. Of course, it wouldn't be a true Ravens tailgate without that Old Bay on the table.
That's right. I mean, you got to have Old Bay. What Mandler doesn't? If you don't have it at your tailgate, you better rush to your nearest store real quick before it's over.
All right, welcome back to The Call with Brando, Cash, and Josh. What's up, man?
What's up?
Now, we're walking around Lot H, and of course, we're meeting a lot of friendly faces and everything. We got Chelsea here. Chelsea, what are you drinking?
Bloody Mary.
Now, do you always come here to tailgate whenever there's a home game as much as possible? What is it about Lot H that keeps bringing you back?
My dad always tailgates here with his buddies, so it's some good father-daughter bonding time. Let's go, Raven.
That's good. That's a good idea. Now, you actually have somebody who actually is technically tailgating. So, does your dog here, does it enjoy tailgating? Is it a big Ravens fan as well?
Heck yeah, he loves the table scraps. Maybe a beer or two here and there. He's past 21. It's all good, right?
All right, this has been Tailgating from Lot H. Now, back to the show. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that. That was Tailgating from Lot H on The Call. Thank you so much, Chelsea, for talking with us and letting us know what you were drinking. And hope your dog, Jaden, had a good time tailgating. The only person on this podcast that actually had a tail, so good for him. But here we are. We're going to be talking about
tailgater.
Yeah, exactly, a true tailgater right there. So let's talk about this Houston game. It's going to be once again at M&T Bank Stadium, back-to-back home games. We are welcoming home Ray Lewis, he's going to be in the Ring of Honor. He's going to be inducted into the Ring of Honor this upcoming game against Houston. So before we start talking about what to look for in this game, Ray Lewis coming back to town. He hasn't been gone long, but his presence is definitely missed there. I think it was kind of eerie hearing him do the Under Armour, "Will you protect this house," at the stadium. But to have him back in the stadium this time around, I think that place is going to be even louder than it was this past week.
I mean, yeah, it was loud at the onset of the game, right pregame. And I mean, the unveiling of the world champion banner, and wow, it just and Reed coming back too on the other side of the enemy for Texans. And you know, someone asked me tonight before I recorded the show, "Do you think he's going to get booed?" I don't think so. Honestly, hope no, so it doesn't happen, because Ed Reed's special here in Baltimore, and I mean, he really hasn't done anything for Houston. I mean, look at this way, Brandon. It'd be different if he had 5 or 6 interceptions in 2 games, and he's been tearing it up, had a pick 6, and oh my God, the Texans are awesome. But Texans just barely won. They had to come from behind on both weeks, so they could be easily 0-2. So the Texans have their own problems. But Ed Reed coming back, hopefully he'll play. If he doesn't, you know, hey, great. But I'm going to be cheering for him. I mean, you know, number 20 had some special moments in Baltimore's sports history, Ravens history, and he's soon to be Hall of Famer wearing the purple and black. So I really can't wait. And when Ray Lewis comes out, wow, it's going to be a spark. It's going to be energetic. I really hope and believe in my heart that he's going to do his dance after Suggs and the defense is introduced. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just my hunch. It's Ray. You don't know. I mean, people are actually mixed. And this is the question I pose: one of these poll questions is, do you think Ray is going to be introduced with the team, or do you think he's just going to come in quietly and do his thing? It's hard to say. I think he's going to do it. I was watching him on Monday Night Countdown, and he was even saying, he was still associated with the team, because I heard him throw a little bit of "we" and "ours" in there. So, I mean, it's Ray. How can you not? He built this team, built this city up, 17-year career. Can't wait. I mean, obviously it foreshadows the game, but it's a pretty big deal in Baltimore. And the Ring of Honor is one of our unique things. And last year was Jamal Lewis on a Thursday night against Cleveland, and Ray Lewis is the next one to go up.
Yeah, we're going to be welcoming Ray Lewis back, and it's quick for him to come back and, be a part of the Ring of Honor. It took Matt Stover a couple of years to come back and be a part of it, but I think this is really going to be a good thing, not just for the fans. I mean, that's always a big thing to have him come back and be a part of this, but this thing is going to be a big thing for the team, man. I think this is going to be a lot of motivation to kind of show off in front of Ray, because, again, these guys were teammates. But a lot of these people did look up to him. I mean, he really was a mentor role model to a lot of these younger guys. So just some of these younger guys that are still a part of the team, that were a part of the Super Bowl team, I'm sure they're going to love having him back in the stadium. You know, maybe he'll say something in the locker room beforehand. Maybe he won't. I mean, I know he can't do a lot with the Ravens due to his new job with ESPN. Like, he can't be, showing favorites or whatever. But This is going to be a unique experience, and I think having him in the stadium is really going to boost these guys, and I think that they are going to come back and fight a little bit harder because Ray Lewis is in the building.
Well, it's going to boost the team, I think, too, and for the fans, you know what it's going to do for us. I mean, we love it. We love seeing it, and I think it's going to provide a great atmosphere and a harder one even for Houston coming into town, who is a little bit struggling, and just to really break down the matchup here. I mean, yeah, they come from behind win 2 Monday nights ago, or I would say Monday night ago, where they were playing, I guess, San Diego Chargers, and they had to come from behind with Phillip Rivers 4 touchdowns and win the game. And then even this past weekend, late in the game, shot, there was a pick 6 against Tennessee. They had to drive right back down the field. He hits DeAndre Hopkins for the tying score. Actually, they go in overtime. So, again, 2 nail biters, so this team could be quickly 0-2, not 2-0. So they do come in undefeated at 2-0. It's a different team. Aaron Foster's on the rise. He's still trying to come back. They have a two-headed monster back with Ben Tate and Aaron Foster. Andre Johnson, very uncertain at this point. He has a concussion. They say they won't release his information until possibly midweek. He suffered a concussion, but one of the key factors on their offense is this rookie, DeAndre Hopkins. He had 117 and a touchdown on Sunday. He's a new weapon for Houston. I would we're going to have to look out for him on the offensive side. And we already know about defense. We know J.J. Watt's going to be a reigning defensive player of the year. If Ed Reed does suit up and play, we know what he brings to the table. It's going to be interesting to see if Ed Reed plays, Brandon, how Flacco game plans for that and how the offense in total plans for that, with Caldwell being at the offensive coordinator helm, because obviously in practice they went against it. They know Ed Reed's schemes. So it would just bring a nice dynamic to the whole game plan itself.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Ed Reed does actually play. Of course, you know, I think Joe knows him pretty well and knows what to look for. It's going to be his first time going against a ball hawk like that. But I think Joe's got to worry about his own guys right now, which is kind of sad. I think it's not really I can't let this guy get intercepted. So his mind's got to be, this guy's got to catch this ball. I got to get that ball there fast enough and hit those numbers. And he's got to have his hands, you know, on the ball ready to catch it. So Ed Reed, I think if he plays, is definitely going to be a factor. I think he might shut down, you know, Joe's new favorite security blanket, Marlon Brown. I think that might be a big thing for him. Otherwise, I think the real worry for Joe Flacco is whether or not his team's going to be up to par with his play. I mean, is Dallas Clark, Brandon Stokley, are they going to be able to perform the way they have to perform? This Houston team, it definitely scares me going up against the Ravens. The Ravens, again, they're a part of a learning curve right now with all these new guys, and it's going to be a rough week, I think, for the Baltimore Ravens and the Baltimore Raven fans. So I'm interested to see what happens. Last year against the Texans, it was a loss for the Ravens, but hopefully, I personally think it's going to be a very close game, especially since it's at M&T Bank Stadium with Ray in the house. So I have high hopes that the Ravens are going to do well, but are they going to come out with a win? I'm not positive about that. I don't know if the Ravens are going to come out with a win against the Texans this week.
Okay, you're not positive about that. I'm actually going to have a change of heart. Just given some things this week that's transpired and I've seen, I'm actually going to give – it is going to be a close game. I did pick the Ravens to lose this game in the preseason, but I'm actually going to change my pick. I see the Ravens actually win in a close battle. I'm going to give my score and my reasoning why they win. Emotional edge. Ray Lewis in the house. Every coming back. I mean, I think with everything going on the sideshow, I think it's going to be that much of an emotional boost for the fans, for the team, for the city, to know that, you know, Ray's up in the Ring of Honor. They're going to see that, and they're going to play hard for the general. They're going to come back and be honored. And not only that, but how, even if you look at both teams, yeah, they both have been playing bad, and up to their both of potentials, but the Ravens are kind of on the upswing. The Texans are either on the downswing or right in the even field, because, like I told you in the beginning of the preview here, is they could have been easily 0-2. And if Andre Johnson doesn't play, that's one less weapon to worry about. They got to worry about DeAndre Hopkins, because there's no game film on him because he's a rookie. He's hard to predict on his game plan. And then they shut down a run, which the Ravens do normally well. They shut down Trent Richardson to less than 60 yards of rushing, which was phenomenal, because Trent Richardson's a top 10 running back in the NFL. It's going to be very good to see. So I'm actually going to change. I think the score is going to stay the same for me, but I'm going to flip the winners. I would have the Texans winning this game, but I'm going to flip the script and say the Ravens, and given all the key factors happening. And I think the Ravens know it's a must-win the AFC. The Texans coming in, to know the Ravens are 1-1. They can even the field a little bit and show, and being another home game with me and the 12th man in the stands, I know it's going to be a great challenge for the Texans to try to get it going. I'm going to say it is 23-20 Ravens. Instead of 23-20 Texans, I'm going to flip the script, man.
Well, you know what? That's good. I want you to do that. I don't like giving out the score or whatever thing like that, because I want the Ravens to win every game, but I want to also be realistic here. You know, I hope I'm absolutely wrong. I hope that the Ravens come out on top and beat the Texans. The thing that's really kind of besides just the players, I think we have a very talented roster. I'm very happy with who the Ravens have playing on both sides of the ball. I mean, they got some amazing players out there. You got Suggs, and you got Flacco and Torrey, and you've got Dumerville, and you got Lardarius Webb. I mean, some really great tools in this tool shed. you know, the Baltimore Ravens have. But the thing that really bothers me about this season is that I believe it was Ray Lewis. He was on ESPN and he was saying, looking at that Peyton Manning game, that the guys, it looked like they weren't prepared. It looks like even the coaches out there weren't prepared for what Peyton Manning was going to do, because Ray Lewis said he would just study film and he would watch film for, you know, as long as he was awake. He was studying the game and studying what Peyton Manning and guys like that were going to do. What were they calling when they were, you know, giving out certain cities, you know, around the country, or certain states, when they were calling them out? He would know. He's like, all right, I'm hearing him say Alaska. That means he's going to do this. I don't see a lot of that same kind of leadership and that same kind of dedication from a lot of guys on the Ravens squad, that they're going to be studying, you know, 24/7 to figure out their team. So that's why I think this week is really going to help me decide what or who this team is, because I think if they're able to shut down Houston and they're able to of course, you know, not have a beautiful win. I'm not asking for a shutout. I want the Ravens to be the Ravens. They can win dirty. That's fine. That's always been the Ravens' way. But I want to see somebody really lead and know what the other guy is thinking, because Ray Lewis was always good at like that. He always knew what the other guy was thinking, and he always knew what the plays were going to be and what was going to come out there. So I think that's what the Ravens are kind of they're used to. They're used to having Ray Lewis knowing everything. I think there's got to be some more independent thinkers out there on this team, and they got to kind of pick up the slack. I haven't seen that yet, and I think after this week, we'll see what's really on this team and who's going to be the leader on this team. So I think it is going to be a close one, and I hope your score is absolutely right. I hope the Ravens come out with a win, but as of right now, I'm worried, and I don't know if the Ravens are going to be able to pull it off.
I mean, it's all about preparation, Brandon, and you know, you hopefully that rubbed off when Ray was here. It's all about leadership, you know, prepping out with the opponent at hand every week. You're right, studying the game field, taking it to the practice field, applying what you've learned. Applied knowledge is all it's about, and if they don't take that and learn from it, this team, you would know it very quickly. And that's one thing that we really hope that the Ravens have mastered on the back end is just take heat from Ray and Ed Reed and the greats that came through here. That's what made them so great. It's in their preparation. They prepared. That's why Peyton Manning's so great, because he knows. You know, Peyton Manning can look at a defense, all this, he can tell where all 11 guys are going to go. It's just how he is. And that's why he's the mastermind. That's why he picked us apart for 7 touchdowns, because he just knows. Ray was like that, and you read it in one of the plays. You remember back when the scene go to Chargers and he stopped Sproles in the backfield. Mm-hmm. He did it in the playoffs against Colts, where he just busted their line and he read that play. He was instinct. He just knows. He knows what they're going to do at any given time, and he goes no, and he goes they're going to break right, break left, fall back, and that's what it comes down to. And there's the finite details of the game. It's going to be won sometimes in the film rooms. You know, not necessarily on the field on Sundays or even Mondays or Thursdays, but really it's about knowing your opponent, taking the time from Wednesday to Saturday and really preparing and studying hard, because it's almost like you have the greatest advantage in the world. We're giving you 5 days to prepare for one opponent for a 3-hour football game. Let's give them everything you got. And that's what it comes down to. I mean, we work hard every day in our daily jobs, and we work every day. And every day is a new challenge, but you always present the same thing. But these guys get once a week, and it's always a new opponent. And you have 5 days to prepare for that opponent. So that's what makes it special. And it all comes down to Sunday at 1 o'clock at M&T Bank Stadium. It's going to be a war. And we're going to see the separation in the AFC already after 3 weeks. You know, it's going to happen. The Ravens can even at 2-1 and make the Texans 2-1. Excuse me, our division's a mess a little bit. Every division, they're going to create separation in the next 3 or 4 weeks, and it all starts this weekend because it doesn't get any easier for Baltimore at this point. So it's got to start Sunday. And like my prediction stands, if a 23-20 win, 27-21 win, I don't care. As long as the scoreboard adds up more than what they have, it's going to be a good day. Charm City come about 4:30 in the afternoon. I mean, that's what's going down to. If we can prepare and you know, execute the game plan, not be vanilla and not be predictable. You know, not always throwing check down screen pass. I mean, obviously they're there sometimes, but I'd like to see us take more shots, especially with Marlon Brown stretching the field with Torrey. I really like to see a nice executed game plan against Houston.
Yeah, absolutely. So you gave out your score for the game. I'm going to give out who I think is going to be the big time player of this game. I think that this is going to be close. I think it's going to come down to one offensive play, and I'm going to put all my money right now, putting all the chips in. I'm going to say Torrey Smith is going to have a really good game this season. He's done really well the first 2 weeks, and I think this third week he's really going to come out and he's going to play hard. And I can see him kind of being the guy who gets that final touchdown that kind of decides the game. So Torrey Smith, you know, you're one of Flacco's favorites. You're one of his favorite targets. Putting all my money on you, man. I think he's going to come out and have a game of his life.
Picking him over Marlon, man. Are you surprised how they're going to pick Marlon Brown as the X Factor?
Well, you know what? Marlon Brown's great. I think that he's really, you know, he's a really shining star. But I think that, you know, he's had his day in the sun, and I think that's going to be what's going to keep Houston on his toes. I think it's going to be, who is he going to go to, Marlon or Torrey? And I can just see Torrey having a good week. Torrey's kind of due. He's had two good weeks, but everyone's talking about Marlon Brown. Maybe it's a little sense of competition here. But Torrey Smith, I'm putting my money on Torrey.
Hey, I like it. I mean, any Raven being the X Factor is a great thing, but Torrey Smith, let's see if he's the pick of the week here.
Yeah, exactly. So, I guess we're drawing to a close. Did we miss anything?
Not a chance.
Not a chance. All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for listening to the show. If you want to talk more football, if you agree, disagree, let us know, man. Talk to us on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash, and Josh, as he's on Twitter too. Where can people follow you?
They can follow me always on @ItalianGQ52.
That's right. If you're on Facebook, go to facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. We're going to put out any kind of news that we think is worth putting out there. Whenever there's a new show, we'll let you know right there. And make sure you like the Brando Cash Network also on Facebook. It's facebook.com/BrandoCash. The show is available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, so it does not matter if you have an Apple device or an Android device. The Stitcher app is available on both. If you have iTunes, it's real easy to get the show. All you have to do is search for The Call Podcast, either in the podcast app on your phone or device, or if you're actually using iTunes, search The Call Podcast. Click subscribe, and then you make sure you write us an iTunes review. It kind of helps us get a little bit more noticed in the iTunes world. That's where all the podcasts come from, man. If you're at your desk and you're bored at work, go to thecall.brandocash.com. You can listen to this show and all the other shows we have archived over on The Call. Archives over there at thecall.brandocash.com. We give you this show completely for free. We're always talking about the freedom of speech here. So the best thing you can do, help us out, spread the word, let people know that you listen to The Call, be social, go on to Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Vine and Instagram, anywhere where you are social on the web, or even if you're just talking to somebody face-to-face, as rare as that is these days, or even text them, let them know they should download The Call, and it's available on Stitcher and iTunes. So they can listen to it whenever, wherever they want. Does not matter. Listen to us while you tailgate, maybe in lot H before the game. Make sure you're doing a lot of all that other stuff, man. If you're out driving or if you're in the gym, listen to The Call Podcast whenever you want to. That's the beautiful thing here. So we're up against the Houston Texans. Make sure if you are at the game and you're in lot H, you look out for Josh. He's going to be there, and he'll talk to you, and maybe you'll be on the show next week. So, Josh, man, take us out the way you always do.
You got it, Brandon, always. Week 3 is upon us in the NFL. We got to prepare for Houston coming to town, because maybe this time they'll have the problem, because we're going to bring it to them come Sunday at 1. M&T Bank is the site. Will it be the Ravens or will it be the Texans? It's going to be a war. But, hey, the general returns for one last time. It's going to be honored in the Ring of Honor. We can't wait. Here we go. It's Ravens Texans. The showdown is this Sunday. Let's go Baltimore Ravens. Fly high.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.